Well, take your Bibles, please. And again, it's Father's Day. It's such a wonderful, wonderful blessing. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. The title of this teaching is The Father of a Family. Now, I think you've heard me say many, many times. Now, when God created heavens and the earth, everything that he did was in light of having a family. The whole earth was created for man, and the whole creation and the universe was created, I believe, for the earth. You happen to be the focus of the Almighty God who created all things. And he wanted a family, and it says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Our Father has predestined us. You know, when people talk about predestination, they use this term terribly. You know, theologically, they use it terribly. I mean, you know, God already knew you were going to be saved, already knew this. No, that's not what it's. He predestines us, and it's very specific what he is predestined. Those who have believed, he is predestined to be his children. All right. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God's plan, he sent our Lord and Savior because he wanted his family for all eternity. Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of the Father. You and I are all added to this family by faith, by accepting what Christ has done. We're adopted children, and you're just as loved as an adopted child as you are if you were naturally born, as far as the father is concerned. In fact, even in the Roman Empire, you have absolutely even more rights than the natural born child. It's a very, very beautiful place to be, but God wanted you. He chose you. And he did this by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. This is what he wants. He wants a family. He wanted a family that would love him. And he is such a wonderful father. I don't know if this thing's working as well as it should. I think that might be better. He's a wonderful father, and he wants this family throughout all eternity. Look at John chapter 14. Gospel of John chapter 14. Father's Day. I don't think that there's a better time than to talk about the Father. And he is the example of a real one. Some of us have had good ones. Some of us have had bad ones. But it's the Almighty. It is the one who has, he is the perfect, great example. And in John chapter 14 and verse 23, when the Lord says here, and Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. The Father wants to abide in you with his Spirit. You all have, if you've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, you believe the gospel, you believe God raised him from the dead, you have the Spirit of God. He poured that out on Pentecost and on anyone who would believe. From that point on, those of us who endeavor to do his word and do it, and I mean, those of us who don't, God is the Spirit's still there, but you don't have God working in you too well because you don't want it. It's up to you. God doesn't want to visit. He doesn't want to be a guest once in a while. He wants to abide. He wants to live with you. He wants the place in your heart. He wants the Father's place in your heart. He wants you and him to have fellowship together. He wants to have a walking, talking, loving relationship with his children. That's why he poured out the Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ had that with the Father, right? And we have what he had. If we practice it, utilize it. But you have to recognize, number one, God lives, he's ready, present with you. You don't have to pray for him to come in. You don't have to work him up into visiting. No, he wants to abide in your heart, and he wants you to keep him in your heart, like my Father is here. Practice his presence, another way to put it. But he wants that fellowship. He wants you to talk to him. And when he feels like it, he'll talk to you. And it'll be unmistakable. But, you know, most people want to use, this is not a Father that you can use. You know, it's like, you know, when you're a little kid, you get told to do a lot of things. And I remember when my kids were very young, my favorite word was no. Don't do that. No, don't do that. No, don't do that. And then later on, it was, you know, we had more adult type conversations. But, you know, as the years went by, the stages would change in my relationship with them. You know, first off was training. First off was discipline. First off was learning how to act. And no, you be kind, you be nice, don't fight, don't be selfish, this, that, and the other thing. You train up a child in the way they should go. And God has trained us up. He trains us. I mean, you read the book of Proverbs. I was reading that the other day with Joseph Maestri. We were talking about it. I mean, God tells us, you don't want to go down this road. Yeah, you want to do this. You know, and he does that in this beautiful word that he has given us. He has given us in writing his will, his heart. He wants us to learn, and he wants us to follow, and he wants us to trust him, to have that kind of faith where this is what the word says. He wants to make God wants to make our abode with me. And you just truly accept it. He's with you right now. He never leaves you, never forsakes you, right? We always have these manifestations. We'll do it a little later. We'll have manifestations, but I've almost always heard throughout all these many years, I've heard that kind of encouragement. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Why does he keep having to say it? Because we always need to hear it. Can you be told too often that you're loved? You ever get tired of hearing that you're loved and cared for? Do you ever get tired of somebody being kind? You know, hey, you're too kind. Just go away. You upset me. You're being too kind. Of course not. You can get a whole lot of hell in a very short period of time. Okay, and get filled up with that and get it out. But not love, not kindness, not care, not joy, not the great things of life. You can never get enough of those. And that is what the Father wants to pour. He has poured the love of God into our hearts. He has encouraged us and blessed us and loved us. He wants to live. He doesn't want to visit. He doesn't want you just to let him visit once in a while. know, on Sunday morning. He wants to abide with you every day, every night, and enjoy the fellowship together. You know, a lot of things in the scriptures. Creation is sort of let's not think about too big a piece of this. Just let's think about moms and dads here for a minute, right? You know, when my children were born, and Mary and I were both hardwired to love them. You know what I mean by hardwired? It was instinctive. It was already within me. I didn't have to work it up. I didn't have to think about it. It was just automatic. I loved. I would provide, protect, defend, sacrifice. I would do anything for these kids. We did. All right. Mary and it was hardwired. That is something God put within mankind. That is something he put within us. And he put it in us so that we would know him. You know, I mean, we could have been ducks.
Yeah.
You know, lay the eggs and the father leaves. He'll hang around. And the little chicks walk around. They follow after the duck, waddle down the street. I mean, he could have made us like turtles. You just dig a hole in the sand, hatch some eggs, and the little guy's got to run to the ocean where they get eaten. You know, mama and dad ain't there. God could have done anything he wanted, but he did that specific thing so that we would know what he's thinking. He wants to show us what a father is. Our Father protects us, guides us, listens to us, helps us. He reproves us. He teaches us. He disciplines us. That's what a decent father is supposed to do with his family. And he tells us how to do it in the scripture. And now there are a lot of human beings that don't choose to do it right. That don't mean that they weren't hardwired to do it right. You know, so I think being, you know, some of these things, they're a spiritual responsibility. It's a spiritual responsibility being a parent. And it paints a beautiful picture. It's just like, you know, the resurrection, God gives us a perfect picture of that in creation, mm-hmm. Right? You take the seed, you take this thing called the seed, you stick it in the ground and you bury it. It dies and it produces a plant that's beautiful and it's got a million more seeds on it. One little old seed. So we're going to die one day. I mean, this is what it talks about in Corinthians 15, right? We'll die one day. We'll be planted. And he's going to raise us. He's going to raise us a glorious body. Immortal. And you got the example of every plant that's out there. This is how it works. God did put that in creation so that it wouldn't be this overwhelming mystery of how does that happen? You know, he did all of these things. I mean, so many of the parables paint pictures. You know, how precious is the word? Well, it's like leaven. Okay. A little bit goes in the dough and the kingdom will infect everything. How's judgment going to be? Like the dragnet. Everything's going to get picked up, but we only keep the good. You know? Day-to-day items, how life works. You know, And God painted those pictures so that we can understand. And now I'm focusing on the Father here, and I want to stay on that. Go to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. And I want you to look at this. God considers this, you be especially good to those that are in the household, the family. The family of faith. I still believe, and I always have believed, that spirit is thicker than blood. You and I are family. The reason that we know each other, the reason why we love each other, the reason why we're concerned about each other, the reason why we pray for one another, all has nothing to do with our background, has nothing to do with our common, the school we went to or the neighborhood that we grew up in. It has to do with the God who is our Father, the word that we believe, the family that we're a part of. Because I know that God loves you. Therefore, I love you. I know that God loves every person out there. Therefore, I'm being loving to every person out there, but especially unto those that are his. You know, not everybody lets me love them. You know, you can try.
Not everybody cares.
No, not everybody cares. That's right. The truth. But he wants us to be this, but he considers us family. You know, and that's a big deal. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. I've read this a number of times. It's still one of my favorite places in the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the sufferings of death. He was crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He was the one who was in place. He was our substitute, that he tasted death in place of every man. For it became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He did this to bring many sons unto glory. You and I are part of that family. Verse 11, it says, for both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brother. You know, Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call you family. That's my brother. That's my sister. He considered this. He calls us family. Let us never be ashamed of him. That is my brother. That is my big brother. That is my savior. That is the one who saved my life. He is the one who substituted himself for me and for you so that we could be in glory together. It says that God is not ashamed to be called their God in Hebrews 11. God is not ashamed for those that believe. He is not ashamed to be called their God, the creator of all things, our Father. He wants to abide with us. He wants to love us. He wants to fellowship with us. That's why he made man to begin with. spend some time with them, ask them, show you what these things mean and how real they are. Go to Ephesians, please, chapter 3. That kind of fellowship is real. And it's not just about stuff. And what I mean by that, it's not just about the superficial things of life. You ask the Father when you open the scripture, please teach me, Lord. Teach me what you want me to learn. When you go to work, you praise him and thank him for your daily bread, for the job that you have, the provisions that you have, the things that you would need. He wants to be there. Remember how he took care of the children of Israel? All he asked is that they stay faithful, and they had such a hard time doing that. Now, only two out of a million made it into the promised land. The rest of them, their children made it in. But the ones that wouldn't believe, they didn't make it. That's up to the person. Was it God's will? Was it his desire? Oh, 100%, 100%. You know, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." You know, the angels are the family too. They're in this family that we got. They're called the sons of God in the Old Testament. And the whole family in heaven, that includes the angels, right? And Jesus, he's the only one there. And on earth. We pray to the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many Christians out there don't even know that? What a shame. Now, Jesus says, he teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer, right? And how do we pray, Lord? Say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And yet, how many people don't give the Father the time of day? They're talking to his son. Sorry. Doesn't work that way. That's why I said, just read the scriptures and get the understanding, get the example. Go to 1 Timothy, just another thought here. 1 Timothy in chapter 3. It says in verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It's the pillar and the ground of the truth." You know, I think a lot of people think this is talking about a church building or a fellowship. That's not what it's talking about. God gave the revelation to Paul to give to Timothy. "I want you to understand how you conduct yourself with the believers, with the family, with this family of mine, because this family of mine ought us to behave thyself in the house of God." This is where God dwells, is in his family, which is the church of the living God. This is the called out of the living God. Word church is the word ecclesia, right? Just means called out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has a union meeting. You've been to a union meeting, haven't you, Kenny? Yeah, I've been to a union meeting, Local 28. It's really quite an experience. It's the called out of the living God. This family of ours is called out. We are those children who are, our address in the future is glory. Jesus Christ was the substitute. We are family forever. You know, I got you, Charlie, forever. You know, I got brothers and sisters that I've known throughout the years forever. The ones that have fallen asleep will be there forever. Church of the living God, and this is the pillar and the ground of the truth. It's the, you know, it's the depository of the truth. The church is a depository of the truth. You know the word, and you can hold it forth. Give it out. Where else are they going to hear it? You know, I went to classes, and I went to fellowships, and the place that I learned the Bible was in those things. You know, that I, and it was a progression over the years. I learned, but God confirmed the fact that, hey, I'm here. These words, these promises, these truths, these prayers that you pray, I answer them to prove to you that I am here as your Father. He did that all my life. He's done that for you. You know, if your prayers never got answered, you wouldn't be here today. If you never felt peace, never felt deliverance, never felt the burden being lifted off your mind, you wouldn't be here today. So God wants us to know how to deal with each other. Remember, be especially good to the household. But you're the depository of the truth. If your light don't shine, it ain't going to shine. You are the one who, just like, remember he said in Matthew, he says, be you like your Father, merciful like your Father is merciful. We are to live our lives as representatives of our Father. We are here in Christ's stead. Jesus said, love as I have loved. Love seems to be so needed in the world we live. This thing's gone like a snowball heading downhill to hell. It's really pretty quick. But you and I, we can change that course. Jesus changed the course of history. One man changed history. Now we got God in Christ in each and every one of us. And I'm telling you, there's no difference. We can change history if we stay faithful and just stand in love and show the example of who our Father is. Be merciful like he's merciful. Care like he cares. Have joy. Have joy. You know, anything that's taken away your joy, get rid of it. Just get rid of it. You know, go to, you know, if you think about all these things, just think about like the prodigal son. Remember the parable? Most people call it the prodigal son. I call it the forgiving father. It's really about the father with two bozo children, right? And in fact, you know, that's the other thing we learn is we learn disappointment when things don't go well with our families, right? And our children disappoint us at times. Well, God, it's the same thing. He's disappointed too. You know? We get to see it on both sides of this, the joy side, the teaching side, but also the disappointment side. God cares. He loves. But you choose. Samuel was the greatest prophet ever, right? And yet his sons didn't follow in his steps. But Samuel reproved them, told them he was faithful to God. That don't mean your kids are going to do it. You know, they got arrogant. I can do what I want. I know better than you. You know, I mean, you see that too, right? Children don't always. And we human beings, we're not always right. Our being daddies, we're not always right. Just because you're old don't mean you're smart. But one thing I do know, that you may not always be right, but if your motive is love, you do the best you can. And you just keep your motive love. Let me go back here and go to Ephesians chapter 1. God wants a relationship with all of us. He wants a deep, not a superficial one. Our Father wants a relationship with us. I know who He is, the Almighty. And as long as I recognize who I am dealing with, you know, that would be the first lesson of the Bible. You know, that would be the lesson of Job. All right. He wants to be there, but He is the Almighty. He is the Father. He is not the pal. He's not the playmate. He is the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God is the God of Jesus Christ. The Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. God wants to give you that spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Him. And that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. See, this is the beauty of the whole thing. He wants us to pray, and He tells us what to pray for, and He tells us exactly what He wants us to have. And He'll give it to you. He'll give it to you as long as you and I come to Him and seek it. And if you want it, you got it. And if you think this is too big or too far away, then you don't got it. It's a matter of faith when you read scripture. And go to Ephesians chapter 3 in verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. He'll do that. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. He wants you to comprehend the thing that's not comprehensible by your own human understanding. You have to pray to get this. He wants us to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It can't be just intellectually understood. You have to pray to get it. You have to ask your Father in a relationship, you come to him, show me, help me understand, teach me, and then practice it. And that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Go to Romans 8. This was, still is one of my favorite sections of scripture to think about. In Romans chapter 8, every time things get dark, or God seems far, far away, or I've screwed up really badly and think I don't deserve another shot, you know, I'm always led to read the section, Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God has given his son, and if he's before us, who can be against us? I mean, even yourself. See, I'm my biggest enemy. I am the one that has to control my mind to believe the promises and the truths. I'm the one that has to believe that he's faithful and just to forgive all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I have to choose to believe that. I have to choose to accept it. So many people have a hard time accepting that kind of thing for themselves. It's much easier to believe that God would forgive somebody else. But me? See, I know me. You know you. But God wants us to have it. So he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God went to such lengths to get us, how shall he not freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justified. He is the one who has justified you. Who is he that condemns? Is it going to be Christ that died? Is he going to condemn you? Now, let me say it to you this way. Who are you to condemn yourself? Who are you? Are you bigger than God that justified or Christ that died? Stop it. We were sinners. We were dead in trespasses and sins. Now you are the sons of the living God. You are his and he is yours. You have a father in heaven who is willing. I'll give anything to my kids, and they're adults, and I'll still give anything to my kids. Who is it that would stop me? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody's going to stop Almighty God. The only one who really can stop is you. The prodigal son that took everything, went away, spent it all, partied. And the other one that was in the house, said, oh, you never gave me nothing. And wouldn't even love his brother. The two idiot kids. The father loved them both. Nobody can separate you. I don't care what state you're in. He looked far off to see that one kid come back. He was always looking for him. Come on, always looking for him. The other one was there. And he says, you're always with me. Anything you wanted, you could have. Why don't you just rejoice because your brother who is dead is now alive? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who shall condemn? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of the throne of God? Right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. No. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. No matter what comes our way, no matter what comes down, and all these things show up. Okay? We got big drought. We got persecution throughout the world. Christianity is not really, it's on the attack. I mean, even in our society, you don't really think that it's just about pronouns, okay, to change the language to be more. It's an attack against the word. It's an attack against the concept. You know, we want the mother God because we want to be inclusive. They write Bibles. They put translations out because we can't just have Father. You know, it's God. He decided that he wanted to be called the Father. If he wanted to be called the universal creationism, he would have wrote it down. Okay. I don't want to be facetious. I just want you to know that your Father, the righteous, the good, the all-powerful, the God who has cattle on 1,000 hills, not just 1,000 cattle, the one who has never seen, you know, the children have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread, the Father who has promised that he would provide our daily bread and everything that we would need, the Father has proved his love by giving his only begotten Son for us. Who's going to get in the way of him? The only one is you. The only one is you and your stubborn unbelief. That's what kept Israel out of the promised land. So love your Father on this Father's Day. Build a deep and lasting and long relationship. He wants to dwell with you, not just visit. That's what I wanted to share with you. Great.